Not long ago, I stood on the very spot where Abraham Lincoln stood when he said, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. What a masterpiece, what a speech. But why can't we forget what they did there? Because blood was spilt, because the supreme sacrifice was made. Men laid down the most precious thing of all, life, and blood was shed. Yes, Lincoln spoke words of wisdom then, but so did Jesus. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Where we are told in the Bible, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice it says the precious blood of Jesus. It was the old way. Back in the Old Testament, you'll find in Genesis 3 that when God allowed Adam and Eve, after he created them, for they certainly did not evolve from monkeys, he created them and placed them in the garden on probation. I say, then God allowed them to eat of all the trees in the garden, all of them except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, thou shalt not surely eat of it. Thou shalt not surely eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. So eventually Eve ate, and God gave to Adam, and their eyes were opened, and they knew good and evil. And God clothed them. He slew animals and shed their blood and covered Adam and Eve. Blood had to be shed. Then Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, brought an offering to God. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought a lamb, and God had respect unto Abel's offering. But to Cain's offering he had not respect. So Cain got mad, and he slew his brother, and was a hunted man the rest of his life. God accepted the blood way. He did the same with Abraham, accepting the lamb in place of his son. The Jews today all respect and remember the Passover. Why, and what is this for? It commemorates the judgment of God on the firstborn. God said to show Pharaoh, I am God, I'll slay the firstborn, but you Jews, sprinkle the blood of sacrifice on your doorposts, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he did. And all that failed to have the blood over their doorposts hung a crape on the door the next day. God respected blood. This was the old way. But it was the new way, too. Isaiah prophesied, and I quote, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Here, hundreds of years before, was the prophecy of one who was to come to be a lamb for the sins of the people. Then one day John cried, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Then skipping over the events in the life of Christ, we find him at the Last Supper with his 12 disciples, and he said, as he took the cup, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Notice that, which is shed for you. Here was the purpose, the plan, the prospect of his death. His blood, he said, was to be shed for them. Then I noticed the record says he stood before Pilate. He was ready to release him, but the Jews cried out to kill him. So Pilate took water and washed his hands before them all and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And the Jews cried, his blood be on us and on our children. And when Jesus hung there on the cross, he cried, it is finished. That's the story that all of you know so well. But what I want to ask you now is this, my friend, you there by the radio. Have you ever come to this fountain for cleansing for your own soul and your own sin? Does the blood of Jesus cover you? For I notice many things happen once one receives Christ as his substitute. He receives first a standing. Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then I saw we could have sweet fellowship, for Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Then we have satisfying peace. Colossians 1:20 says, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Not the cross, but the blood of the cross. Anybody can wear a cross. It's the blood of the cross. Again, I noticed that we have soothed consciences. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So I maintain this way must be the modern way. If these modernistic preachers, so-called, want any part of the Bible, they must accept it all. And the Bible says, Hebrews 9:22, a law, definitely, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. There is no forgiveness unless there is blood. 2 years ago when I preached on this subject, a preacher was listening to me up in New England. And at the close of the broadcast, he wrote me and he said, away with all your old slaughterhouse religion. And he jeered at the idea of Jesus dying for our sins. And I say, such men are traitors to the Son of God. But to you who listen to them, listen to me. And in the judgment day, Jesus, the crucified one, will judge him as surely as he has gone through the motions of being a preacher. But come now, how about you? What does the shedding of his blood mean to you? Has it been applied to you? Do you know the thrill of knowing that your sins are washed away by faith in this fountain? Preacher was dying, and his loved ones gathered around his bed, and he cried, bring the Bible, bring the Bible. And as he died, he put his finger on 1 John 1:7 and said, I die in the hope of this verse. The verse was, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's it. Listen to me, my friend. You there by the radio. Just before I close now. The day is going to come when you will die. It doesn't make any difference how much money you have. You're going to die. And when you die, if you haven't faith in the Son of God as God's own precious, priceless, perfect Son that died for you, you'll be lost forever and nothing will be ahead of you but the awful judgment day and the flames of hell. Oh, bless God, there's hope for you. When you die, will you be able to put your finger on this verse? I hope so. That will be your salvation. That will be your prevention from the awful judgment day. I hope you'll do it now, right there now by your radio. Will you? I hope you will.